right, we're starting a new series, as you read in the bulletin, as I told you last week, and this series is on the Feasts of Israel. And I'm going to go ahead and have you turn to Exodus chapter 12, but we're not going to get there for a long while, okay? Exodus chapter 12. Now, this is a Wednesday night series, and it's going to run for 6 weeks. We're going to be looking at the feasts, and we're looking at the holidays and feasts of Israel, but more feasts than the holidays, all right? Also, I want you to realize that this series isn't just about the feasts, it's about Christ in the feasts, all right? So it's going to have a little bit more, and we're really looking for not just information on the feasts. We actually want to look at Christ in the feasts. I'm pinging here, and it's really, really loud, okay? And so what we're looking at is we're going to be looking at the Old Testament, of course, the Jewish holidays that were introduced by God and put in place by God. The series is going to explain that rich symbolism that you find in these feasts that a lot of people don't see. You know, when we think of, oh, they celebrate Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, and you know, maybe you know what that means, maybe you don't know what that means. Well, you'll know what that means, but believe it or not, Christ is in there. Even though this is given thousands of years back, Christ is in there. And so it all has symbology, all right? So we're going to be looking at that symbology that's behind these feasts, and we're going to study them in detail, but I had to really pull back because as I was putting the series, you know, I kind of like this stuff, and I can really get into the details. And then I realized that the details may put you to sleep. Where to me, it excites me. To you, it might put you to sleep. I don't know. But we'll look at it in detail, but not too much detail, okay? So it's going to be about the feasts. It's going to be about the Lord Jesus in the feast, in symbology. And, of course, the prophecies that are involved with the feasts, because they do look forward. And so, now, with this introduction lesson, it's going to be a little weird, okay? And normally, I would give you a slide presentation, but we're not with this one. It is an introduction, and we have a problem here. Before we can really talk about the Jewish feasts, we have to talk about the Jewish calendar. So as I was getting into formatting this, I realized, you know what? If we don't understand the Jewish calendar, then I'm going to be saying things about the feast, and I'm going to have to be explaining it and how they're connected with the calendar and the harvest time and the planting time and all of that. And that there's some symbology there about the Lord, okay? So, no, I had to say, okay, this won't be the first. I'm actually going to have to make the Jewish calendar the first. And so this introduction isn't just going to be an introduction. As a matter of fact, there's very little introduction here. You know, the Feast of Israel or the Feast of Israel. What it is going to be, it is going to be a study of the Jewish calendar. You're going to have to really stay with me here, but I think I can make this so that you can understand it, okay? So this introduction, you're going to say, why are we studying the Jewish calendar? Well, we're studying it because it's the only way that we can connect the Jewish feasts, because they are connected to the calendar, the Jewish calendar. Now, here's the thing. The Jewish calendar is not like our calendar, and that's what was going to throw us off. So I thought, well, if I show you this, you'll have it. One thing interesting about this is that if you get this series on CDs, you need this lesson first, okay? Because if you don't, then like I said, you're going to be missing something unless you're just very aware of how the Jewish calendar works, all right? So I've said all that to say that all the Jewish holidays and feasts are in some way connected with the Jewish calendar, all right? So it's important that we study the Jewish calendar first. And so the dates of the Jewish holidays don't change within the calendar. For instance, you know how sometimes, let's say Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving fluctuates. It may not be the same. It's on Thursday, but it may not be the same date every year. Not the Jewish holidays. They are on the same date, and it's like Christmas. Always December 25th? Well, these holidays or these feasts are always on the same date. Now, they have to accommodate for that, because the dates cannot go into a Sabbath, for instance. Ooh, that would be a problem. where, you know, we might celebrate a holiday on a Saturday or on a Sunday even, because maybe it fluctuates. No, they can't do that. That's Sabbath. It can't be touched. So therefore, they have to keep their calendar in a way that the feasts will fall always on the same day. But and I'll show you how they work this. But they've got to stay away from the Sabbath, and they have to stay away from certain areas, or it'll mess them up. I mean, it's a big problem. All right. So that's why, even though the feasts are on the same day, their calendar shifts, and they have a way of doing that. And so we need to understand the feast, but we also need to understand how it shifts. So holidays or feasts, because again, we're going to see both, are celebrated on the same day of the Jewish calendar every year, okay? So every year, it's the same day. Now, this is a different concept than what we're used to in our calendar, and so that's why it's important that we take a look at this. And so the concept is different, and so when we look at this, we realize that what is the first month? Well, believe it or not, the first month is not the first day of the year, okay? Now, the first month of the Jewish calendar is the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan straddles our months of March and April, which means that it starts not quite in the middle, but like in the middle of March and ends in the middle of April. So it straddles our months of March and April. Actually, a little bit more April than March, okay? But that's their first month, and so it's the month of Nisan. Obviously, that's in the spring. All this is important, all right? That's in the spring. When Passover occurs, it straddles the months of March and April because Nisan and Passover have to go together. So Passover is always in the month of Nisan, all right? So it straddles that month, and of course, it's in the spring. And I don't want to put this in here and confuse you, but you know, Easter and Passover are together, and we have Easter, but our Easter fluctuates. Ah, their Passover does not. It's got to be the same day every year, okay? And so we realize, but it's still in the spring, and there's some importance to that. So their Passover then has to occur somewhere between that March and April time, whenever the month of Nisan is in place. But remember, I say somewhere, but there's always a set day, okay, every year. However, now listen carefully. The month of Nisan does not start the new year. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. You just said it was the first month of the year. I did. But it doesn't start the new year. So how is that? No. Nisan is the first day of the year. However, we're talking numerically. It does not start the year. Okay? Now here's where you really have to stay with me. Okay? Now, the concept is that there's a starting point that's different, all right? The first month, being Nisan, is in the spring. However, the Jewish New Year starts in the month of Tishri, which is actually their seventh month. So it's in that seventh month that they would go from 2017 to 2018. Let me give you this concept, and maybe it'll help you. Our year starts in January. However, our school year doesn't start till September. Now are you getting it? And our school year ends in May, then we have a summer break, and then the new school year starts in September. Well, just because their year starts in Nisan, it doesn't mean they're going to change numbers. They're not going to put a new number in the year until they get to the seventh month. On the seventh month, they start a new number, all right? I know it's a concept that is a little hard to put our head around, all right? That brain of ours just can't get it. But stay with me, all right? So we realize then that Tishri is in the seventh month. The seventh month, because of where, you know, it starts in our April, okay? The seventh month is going to straddle our month of October, November, okay? And that's actually when their year changes number. So then their first numerical year starts in our October, November, and that's when the number increases. So the concept then is different because it has two starting points. One starting point is the first month, and the second starting point is the first of their new year. Again, a little difficult to grasp it, but there's a lot of significance, and that's why it works the way it works, all right? So what we have then is that the American New Year would start in January, represented by the number 2017. All right, their year just started, because remember, it straddles our October and November. So they just celebrated the year 5778. That's their new year. So 5778, and I'll tell you how they get that number, because you're thinking, it's only 2017. No, okay? And you're going to see this. This is so neat. So neat. So 5778 just started right here. It just, the straddling of October, November, the month of Tishri, started the new year, even though actually their first month was back in April, March, April. All right? Okay, just stay with me. You'll get it. Please, God, have them get it by the end. Okay, so what we see then is that the year number on the Jewish calendar represents a number that is way beyond ours. And we say 5778? Yes, because it's based on creation. By the way, it's going to be a whole lot better than ours. I'm going to show you that. So it's based on creation. So it's 5778 based on creation, because it represents the number of years since creation, calculated, now listen, calculated by adding up the ages of the people in the Bible back to the time of creation. Now let me give you something. They don't have a problem with the evolutionists that say that the earth is millions of years. It's not. They can calculate back, and so can we, by the way. And I'm telling you right now that this creation is not 6,000 years old. It's only 5778 years old. And so they don't have a problem with that. They've already done it. As a matter of fact, God did it for them. I'm going to show you that. God already did it for them. And so God gave it to them in a way that way, 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 way back, before the 21st century, all right? God had already said, hey, this is how far you go back in creation in years, because that's when Adam and Eve were created. And so now they move forward, and we're at 5778 because we go to the Bible. And by going to the Bible, we're able to find that. It's calculated by the Bible, and it shows us through the time all the way back to the time of creation. Now, Jews do not use, or generally anyway, but they do not use the words AD and BC. You do know that AD stands for the Latin, yes, which means year of the Lord, okay? However, who Lord? Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. So therefore, they don't use AD. They don't use BC because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. So therefore, they don't use AD and they don't use BC to refer to the years of their civil calendar. AD means, of course, you know, year of our Lord, and then we've got BC, and so they don't believe in the Lord. Instead, they use abbreviations that sometimes you'll see this, because this has become you know, with the anti-Christian society that we're living in, especially in the United States, this has become the kind of the norm now, and that is to use the letters CE, CE, which means common era. And really, some say that it means common Christian era, but I don't know if I want to go with that, but anyway. So common era, CE, and then there's BCE, which is before common era, all right? And that's what they use. And that's what they've used for a long time, all right? So there's CE, they don't use AD and they don't use BC. And so there's gonna be your CE and your BCE. And by the way, that's what's most commonly being used by scholars today. If you're in university work and you know that, it's they're getting away from the AD, BC thing because it's too religious. So they're going with common age, okay? And so that's what they, well, guess what? They've been doing that thing for a long time, all right? They have never used AD and BC because of they don't see the Lord Jesus as anything. So now, it's extremely important that the holidays be kept in the right season. Let's get back to the holidays, all right? And the feasts. They've got to be kept in the same season, just like for us. I mean, can you see us celebrating Christmas on the 25th of July? That would be ungodly, okay? Same with them. They have got to keep their feasts at the same time of the year. Again, there's symbology here, so that's a good thing, all right? And you'll see it as we move through the series, but that's a good thing. So it's extremely important to them. God just put it in their minds that those holidays and feasts have got to be kept in the right season, just like, you know, we've got to keep December 25th, December 25th. Now, there are 12 months to the Jewish year. You say, well, just like ours. Yeah, but it came by a different way, okay? But yes, there are 12 months to the Jewish year, and a calendar year, and so each consisting of 20 or 30 days. You say, oh, that's different. Yes. And again, it has to do with the fact that you got to keep that span moving back and forth. You got to stay away from the Sabbath, all right? So each month consisting of 10 to 30 days. Now you say, which are 10 and which are 30? It changes. They just have to look and they have to say, okay, and I'll tell you what the indicator is in just a moment. No, this month's going to have 20, this month's going to have 30, and so it changes. So there's no, you know, this month's have 20 and this month's have 30, like ours has 30 and 31, but they're always 30 and 31. No, there's change, and it's 20 and 30, all right? It's not one day different, it's 10 days different, all right? Now, every second or third year is a leap year with an extra month added. Extra month added, yes. Extra month added. You're saying these people are crazy. Now, be careful. This is God here, okay? So, you gotta keep those feasts. Remember, this is God's people. This is not just anybody out there. So, yes. So, every 2 to 3 years, we're going to go ahead and add a month. And this is going to ensure that the festival of the Passover, and these are the important ones, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles remain in the same seasons. Passover has got to be in the spring, and you got to keep the date the same, okay? Pentecost must be in the summer, and the Feast of Tabernacles must be in the autumn. In order to be able to do that, you got to be able to shift back and forth. You got to add a month here. And by the way, let me tell you something. It is not as confusing as it sounds. All right? I hope I'm not making it sound confusing. But if you know it, you know it. You know what I mean? And it's not as confusing as it sounds. All right, so what do we have? Well, let me give you something now. And we're going to go to Exodus. God has directed the Jewish people to set up their calendar. They, you know, our Gregorian calendar is from Pope Gregory, which came out of the Catholic Church. No, they did better. Theirs comes from God. Okay, so God actually directed the Jewish people throughout biblical times on the essentials of how they're going to do their calendar. And when they were kept in Egypt for the 400 years, as God was building them into a nation, by the time they get out of Egypt, then God actually really gives them their calendar at that time. So it is inspired, it is divine. And this is why, and let me give you something here. This is why we can approach the Jewish calendar with a lot of confidence. Because let me tell you something, if you're going to do any dating, you're gonna wanna go back, and you've got any sense to you, you're gonna wanna go back to the Jewish calendar. You know, I tell you this from time to time. God's time is not Washington time. It's not New York time, okay? It's Jewish time. That's the hub. That's what he's looking at. That's where everything happens, okay? And so we sometimes think, oh, because this is happening in our country. No, it's Israel, all right? So, Exodus chapter 12, look at verse 1 and 2. And this is where we're going to start now about the calendar, and I hope you really grasp it now from God's way of giving it to Israel. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Okay, and this is going to be Nisan, and this is going to be our April, all right? But remember, it straddles, all right? But now, notice something. Not only can they find creation and where it started, and so where time actually started as far as the creation is concerned, but we have a commandment here from God that he actually says, now Moses, you're going to start counting 30 days, 20 days, and God's going to direct them, 20 days, 30 days from today. Right now, this is where everything starts for you. And so this is where the calendar starts. Forget the Egyptian calendar, which is what they were going by. No, no, no. And the Egyptian calendar, it also went with the moons and the stars, but it had a lot of stuff in it that was just messed them up every once in a while because it was wrong. And so now here God says, this shall be unto you the beginning of months, plural, which means this is where your year is going to start. It shall be the first month of the year to you, okay? Now, I know what you're thinking, but you told us that it's really start. Let's not go there. Let's just stay right now with this, all right? So we have a mandate from God. This is where time's going to start. My people are now my people as a nation, and now here's where everything's starting, even time, even the calendar. And so this is where it's all going to start. Now, I remind you that the law is what's going to bring about, and what happens in Egypt here, the Passover and all the feasts. And remember, they're connected to the calendar. So it's important that God gives them a starting point. And this is it right here. And so God says this is where it's going to be. So God told Moses that this month would begin their calendar as it began their year. Okay? And so the month of Nisan, and by the way, it's given a name in Exodus chapter 13 and verse 4. All right? Nisan. Okay? So by so designating the month of Nisan as the beginning of months, what is God doing? He's creating a new calendar for the Israelites. They don't have to go by the Egyptian calendar. No, it's been 400 years in Egypt. No, they've got their own calendar now, and so he's created a new calendar for the Israelites. Now, what is the major reason? The major reason for this change is not only I am going to begin a calendar for you because I'm going to give you so much that is kept by the calendar, but also I want you to remember that time for you as a people, as a nation, started here in Egypt. And it'll start with the Passover. Now, when we get to the Passover, you'll see the connection, but right now, it'll start with the Passover. But you've got to understand that you are my people now, my nation, and you're going to have your own calendar. Major reason is that I have given you freedom. You are no longer slaves. But also, I want you to have your own calendar because I'm going to run you by my time, not anybody else's time. And that is so important that we grasp. So what do we have? Well, let's look at the seasons, okay? So what about the seasons? Well, the Egyptians, you know, they had different ways of doing their seasons because it had to do by the Nile God, and it had to do by the sun God. And no, God said, no, I'm going to use the sun and the moon, but it's going to be a little different. And so God actually gives them the seasons. And the seasons are determined by the moon, okay? The seasons are determined by the moon. I want you to go to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Look at verse 19 and 20. Psalm 104, 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. So what are we going to use for the seasons? We're going to use the moon. Now, the sun and the moon are the two that are used, okay, for this calendar. And I want you to know that. So this calendar is based on lunar and solar systems. And so that's something that you need to keep in mind. It is not the only one, but that's the two that we're using here. So the components that God uses is going to be the lunar and the solar, and those are the components. So what do we have? Okay, there is going to be seasons that are going to be guided by the moon. Now we say, why not the sun? No, it's going to be the moon, all right? But before we go to the sun, we need to understand something. Okay, so how many months are we going to have? Because all we saw back there were, this is the beginning of months. Okay, I want you to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians, but Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Look at verse 1 and then verse 15. Now the children of Israel, after their number, to wit, the chief fathers and captains of thousands and hundreds, and their officers that served the king in any matter of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year, of every course were 24,000. Okay, now look at verse 15. The 12th captain for the 12th month was Haldai, the Nephthophathite, and Othniel, and his course were 24,000. Here is where we see that there are 12 months, because what we're doing here is we're giving courses. And we're giving courses, and in the way of giving courses, we start, okay, 24,000, and what we do is we go all the way to the 12th month. If you keep reading, you realize that's it. That is the 12th month, or I should say that is the last month, and the last month is the 12th month. So there's only 12 months. Yeah, there's only 12 months. We see this time and time again, so we understand that there's only 12 months. Now, I ask the same question you're probably asking right now, and that is, where do they stick that other month? We're not going to cover that right now, all right? So what do we have? Well, by God's directing prophets, the Jewish people have got their creation, because they can count back through their Old Testament all the way to the creation. And then, of course, you can go into the New Testament easy. And then what we've got is also that God has told them there's going to be 12 months. And so we've got that direction of 12 months. And so the prophets, God himself, is giving them their months, has given them how many months, and their days are going to be calculated. Now, stay with me here and really grasp this, because it's important that we get it. Their calendar has both lunar and solar components, all right? So what we do is we need to say, okay, so which is which? Well, the months are determined by the moon. And there's a lot of verses that I can show you that in, but I thought, well, you know, I got to use my time wisely here. So we realize that, okay, the months then, the components, the months are determined by the moon. And the years are going to be determined by the sun. Both of them work together, and there's a formula like. Both of them work together, you're going to get the months, and you're going to get the years. And then there's going to be a month every 2 or 3 years that you're going to have to interject there. Okay, so what do we have? Well, one of the most interesting things of their calendars is the days. And this plays a lot into it. Now, you know this. You know about the days, all right? So what do we have? Well, when it comes to the days, we have to understand the way that the days work. Because one of the most interesting things is the fact that their calendar days are different than ours. They're based on the creation account. So, why aren't they based on a different way of system? No, because God told them this is the way that you're going to look at a day. You're going to look at a day differently than Pope Gregory looked at a day. Let me show it to you. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This is the last place we'll be looking. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and look, if you will, at verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now watch this. And the evening and the morning were the first day. He didn't say in the morning and the evening. He said in the evening and the morning. So when the fathers saw this, they said, the day starts when the sun goes down and it becomes evening. And it ends when the sun goes down again. So the evening means 6 o'clock p.m. And that starts the new day because God said it that way. Because God said, and the evening and the morning make up a day. So instead of going to midnight like we do, which starts the morning, no. They start at 6 o'clock p.m., which starts the evening. So a day, a Jewish day, is from 6 o'clock p.m. to 5:59 p.m. the next day. And that's how they get it, right there from God. See how there's a lot of divine stuff here, and I've got a little bit more. I need to hurry here. But so a Jewish day, how did they get it? Right there. How did they get 5778? They go back through creation all the way to Adam and Eve by going through the genealogies. So everything is Bible-oriented and everything is connected with God, and God is giving them all these components. And then when they get the feasts, it's going to be perfect. Oh, it's going to be perfect. And so all the components come from the Lord. Now, the calendar instituted in Exodus. I want you to really listen to this. Because if you have a Jewish friend, they're going to say, well, that's not necessarily true, what your pastor said. Well, it depends on what they're saying, that it's not necessarily true, because, you know, for instance, their day is from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. But here's what I'm saying. The calendar instituted in Exodus, the one that we saw, where God said, and this is the beginning of months, all right? Instituted in Exodus was Israel's first calendar. And was used for the festivals, and it was used for the feasts, and that's where God gave it to them. However, by Jesus's day, okay, and you got to keep that in mind, by Jesus's day, another calendar had been put in place. And this is the key here, because if you have a friend that's Jewish, he's going to say, no, we go by the Hallel calendar. He's right. Because of the Romans and because their calendar was so complex as far as the Greeks and the Romans were concerned, and by the way, with the Babylonians, some of the names changed, and then they brought them back. They started Semitic, their months' names, and then they went Persian and all of that, you know, through so much going on. Hillel, which was one of the rabbis, he came up with a calendar that was more friendly toward the Roman calendar and was a little bit more, and so it was adopted for business. So businessmen wouldn't use the Exodus calendar because that was more of a religious calendar. And with Hillel, they embrace that calendar and they call it their civil calendar. So they have their religious calendar and they have their civil calendar. All right, for the purposes of the feasts, you cannot use the civil calendar. You have got to use their original calendar given by God, not Hillel, but God, and that would be your Exodus calendar, all right? So that's the one we'll be using. That's the one we'll be using. The Hillel calendar has got a little bit different things there, and it's called the civil, their civil calendar. It's used for business affairs and civil affairs and so on, and it is not, because it cannot be used for the religious affairs. But since they are a people that are so controlled by their religion, really the Exodus calendar is the one that we need to go with, all right? So the civil calendar, and now you're going to say, oh, okay, their civil calendar has the first month of the year as Tishri. So in the civil calendar, their numbers change with the first day or the first month of the year, just like ours does. So that calendar means that their years change in November. The other one means that no, the number changes over here, but really the first month of the year, according to God, was back here with Nisan, all right? The civil kind of ties in together so that they change the number with, you know, the calendar, and it eliminates a lot of confusion of, you know, is it the religious year or is it the number year? Is it, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what the civil calendar did. It changed that. So it moved that around. So for business, they use the civil calendar. For their festivals and all of their religious things, they use the Exodus calendar. Now, during Bible times, it's important that you get this too. The seasons in Israel were divinely determined. You say divinely, yeah. They were divinely determined. God actually told them how to do their seasons. So what we have then is, because you say, wait a minute, you know, their Nisan is in the middle of March, April. Right. They don't start there, and again, remember, we're gonna stick with the Exodus calendar. They don't start then their year in the January winter like we do. They actually started in the spring. Now, you say, well, that's weird. No, it isn't weird. What happens in the spring? Things blossom. Things come to life. Things start. Well, then, pretty good thinking. God's pretty smart. He said, no, according to how things bloom, things give life, things begin, is how the beginning of the year should be. So I looked at that and I thought, it's pretty smart, God. How about that? So now you understand why the seasons are divine according to their calendar. So remember, we're talking feasts here, and it's all going to tie in. So it's important then that we understand, because the crops gatherings, and it's all the activities of sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting. And so that's the way that God sees it all. And so the seasons during the Bible times, the seasons, of course, in Israel, they were divinely determined by God. And that's how the calendar was put together. Generally, planting was done in the winter months and then, of course, spring. And so that was the beginning of everything. And then, of course, there was the reaping. Then it was the planting, the harvesting. And generally, of course, that was the summer months and all of that. Now, let me wrap it up here. the crop gathered at the beginning of the harvest. The crop gathering at the beginning of the harvest was called first fruits. By the way, that's found in Exodus 23:16. Didn't the Lord say that he and us are the first fruits, but especially he is the first fruits? Well, we'll learn that. We'll see that a little bit deeper. Crops were gathered at the end of the harvest season. They were known as summer fruits. That's Amos 8:2. Now, you don't hear about summer fruits too much, but it is connected to one of the feasts. And now we realize summer fruits. Well, we have summer fruits, and guess what? Two of Israel's major festivals are divinely integrated in the seasons here with the time. So harvest is Pentecost, celebrating the beginning of the harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles is celebrating the end of the harvest. So you've got two feasts, one celebrating first fruits, one celebrating the autumn, one celebrating the end of the feast. You say, what about that summer one? I didn't want to get into that one. We will in weeks to come, but there's a reason for this summer fruits, all right? Now, celebrating the beginning of the harvest, celebrating the end of the harvest, we've got Pentecost, we've got the Feast of the Tabernacle. All plays into the coming of Christ. It all plays into it. So, we go back to the birth of Christ. When did it take place? Well, it actually took place in the winter, okay? And then we go to, when did he start his ministry? You say, well, that was 30 years later. But what was going on during when we first see him coming out? There's a term there that's interesting. Remember when the Lord looks and he says, behold the harvest? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. But he was looking at a harvest. How about that? Interesting statement. So it was harvest time. Where was he in his ministry when he said that? So all of this plays into this, okay? Now, let me give you one thing in closing here. When Jesus, the Messiah, returns and he establishes the kingdom, all the feasts, and I do have to tell you that they're slightly modified. They are slightly modified. But all of the feasts that we're going to study are going to be celebrated in the millennial kingdom. So we better learn about these feasts, okay? Now, true that the Jews will be doing it more than the Gentiles, but we better know these feasts, okay? And here's where you can find that. Ezekiel 46. Read the whole chapter, and you're going to realize that during the millennial reign, all the Jewish festivals and feasts, or the major ones, are going to be celebrated during the millennial reign. So, you know, I have this feeling that when we go into the millennial kingdom, we will have already learned the Jewish calendar. So if you didn't get it tonight, it's okay. You'll get it, and you'll keep it for 1,000 years. Because I really believe that the millennial reign will use this calendar, okay? And so what do we have here? Well, next week we'll go ahead and we will really start on the feasts, okay? But I had to give you this. Now, we'll start with the major feasts. That's what we're going to start with, and we'll do it next year. All right, next week, okay? Let's pray.